In the gospel reading today, we hear of this woman from the crowd calling out to our blessed Lord, speaking about the blessing that his mother had to be able to bear him, to nurse him. And while this is indeed a great blessing, and in fact, when we look at all of the privileges that have been given to our Blessed Lady, it is so that she could be the Mother of God that all of those blessings were given to her. And yet at the same time, our Lord tells us that certainly as blessed as that is, it is a far greater blessing for one to hear the word of God, to keep it. Jesus himself is the word of God. And it's an interesting thing to be able to note when you look at the Gospels that every single time that you hear about our Blessed Lady, she is wherever Jesus is. The two of them are inextricably linked. So it only makes sense that she is going to continue to be where he is. After all, that is exactly what he said. Where I am, there also will my servant be. There is no one who served our Lord more perfectly than his mother. Consequently, where he is, she is going to be. So we know that he rose from the dead and was brought into heaven and glorified to sit at the right hand of the Father. Today we celebrate then the feast on which our Blessed Lady was also resurrected, and she was brought to heaven, where she is glorified with her Son. Now, there is no official teaching of the Church as to what happened at the end of our Blessed Lady's life. In other words, it's a point where you can be Catholic and either believe that she died, or you can be equally Catholic and believe she didn't die. There are some people who want to just think she was, whatever, walking down the street or lying in bed or whatever, and she was just taken up. The oldest tradition suggests that she died in January and was assumed into heaven on August 15th. But the Church doesn't teach that specifically, so you can believe either way. But what we do recognize, though, is that Our Lady's body has been transformed to be like our Lord's. And so that's exactly what we heard in the second reading when it says, when that which is mortal clothes itself with immortality, then the word that is written will come about, death is swallowed up in victory. Death has no power over our Blessed Lady. From the very first moment of her Immaculate Conception, Satan had no power over our Blessed Mother. And although her body and her soul, she is fully human, just like you and I. So even though her body is a normal human body, typically subject to death and corruption, hers was not. Perhaps she died, but there was no corruption in her body because there was no sin in her body. And consequently, her incorrupt and inviolable body was then transformed into the glory of the Lord's resurrection. She shares in the resurrection. She shares now in the glorification. When we hear in the first reading, even about the fact of David bringing the ark to the place in Jerusalem, back into the temple, and all the things that happened, all the festivities because of the Ark of the Covenant, we have to remember the reason the Church gives us that reading is because Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. Jesus himself is the covenant, and our Blessed Lady carried him within herself. And so, therefore, the glory that is shown as the ark is brought into the temple is now being given to our Blessed Lady as well. You read the book of Revelation, And it tells us that God's temple in heaven was open, and in the temple could be seen the Ark of the Covenant. And then it describes the Ark, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon on her head and a crown around her head, a crown of 12 stars. That's the new Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the New Covenant. And it's there in the Lord's temple in heaven. So what we can look at with our Blessed Lady is also the fulfillment of what is going to happen for us. She already shares in the fullness of the glory of God. She did nothing to merit her Immaculate Conception, but throughout her life, she freely chose to cooperate completely with God. And at every single moment of her life, she said yes to God, always and in every single way doing the will of God perfectly, and thereby growing more and more in love with the Lord. Because she was so perfectly united to Him in everything, in fact, so conformed, when we hear our Lord saying that blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, she was so perfectly conformed to the word of God that the word could become flesh in her womb. And now it is reversed. Just as Jesus came down into the womb of our Blessed Lady to begin His human life, so now He has taken her to be with Him. The two of them, as I mentioned, are absolutely inextricably linked. The two hearts of Jesus and Mary cannot be separated. Obviously, the divinity is infinitely beyond her humanity. But for human beings, she is the highest. She is the one who loved God the most. She is the one who is without sin. She is the one who, out of all humanity, has lived perfectly the call of Almighty God, the only one. And therefore, she then is the exemplar for all humanity. So it makes sense, once again, if we look at it and recognize that, yes, she ought to be where Jesus is. It makes perfect sense. Unlike the ascension of our Lord, which our Lord ascended into heaven by His own divine power, Our Lady did not have the power to get herself to heaven. And that's why it's the Feast of the Assumption. To be assumed into heaven means to be taken up by the power of another. And so it is by God's power that Our Lady has been taken up into heaven. But she stands now as the first fruits. Jesus, the first to rise from the dead, now Our Lady, having risen from the dead and being glorified now in heaven with her Son, stands then as that example for us of what God is calling you and me to be. He wants us to be in heaven. And we might look at ourselves and think, I can't get there. What can I do to be able to get to heaven? Our Lady shows us. Love God and do His will. It's just that simple. His will for you may be very different from His will for our Blessed Lady in the way that her life was lived. It doesn't matter. What matters is doing His will. What is God asking of you? And strive now in your life to be able to grow in love. Strive now in your life to do more perfectly the will of God. And as you then become more and more conformed to our Lord, then you will be prepared for the day that your body is going to rise from the dead, and that you too can be glorified just as Our Lady has been. That's what God has for all of us. So she then is the fulfillment, the first point of fulfillment of the promise of God, that we will rise from the dead. How that's going to happen is a bit of a mystery. It's more than a bit. It is a total mystery to us. We don't understand how old Brother Donkey here is going to rise from the dead, how everything is going to be put back together. We hear from the prophet Ezekiel when he sees the field of the dry bones and how God is bringing the bones back together and puts the flesh on the bones and so on. It's through the power of the angels, or through the ministry of the angels, the power of God, that all this is going to be done. So again, it's a mystery for us to look at this and go, how can this body that's going to die and be buried in the ground, how is it going to rise from the dead? Not by our own power, but by God's power. And so our soul, which cannot die, is going to go forth to judgment and either enter into heaven or purgatory if we need some time, or go the other direction. Our body on the last day of the world is going to rise from the dead. Every one of our bodies. Doesn't matter if we go to heaven or if we go the wrong direction. Our body is going to rise from the dead, and it will be reunited with our souls and remain that way for eternity. So we need to make sure that we're striving for heaven. Because even if we wind up in hell, we're still going to live forever. And there is no way out. So we want to make sure that we're striving to get to heaven. So you want to look at your prayer life. You want to look at the areas of virtue that need to be developed in your life. You need to be striving for that conformity to Christ. Again, those who hear the word of God and keep it. So I said earlier, Our Lady was so perfectly conformed to the word of God that the word of God could become flesh within her. Obviously, that's not going to happen with any of us. But we can still be conformed to Christ. That's the choice we have to make, each and every one of us. And it is what we want to be striving for. So that by the time the Lord calls us home, we will have achieved that conformity and be prepared to be able to enter into union with Him. That's what this life is all about. It's what Our Lady did her entire life, and now it is what you and I are called to be able to do, so that what has happened for her can also happen for us. Not to be perfect as she is perfect, because she never had sin, but to be able to achieve the perfection to which we are called, and to be able to be united with the Lord. So that, once again, where He is, His servant will be. Our Lady served Him perfectly. We can only serve Him as perfectly as we're able. But nonetheless, that's what we're to strive for. So we glorify God in the glorification of His Mother. We praise Him because He is the one who first and foremost has given the honor to His Mother. Having followed the fourth commandment perfectly, which if it was properly translated would say, glorify your mother and father. Doesn't just say honor your mother and father, it actually says glorify. That's exactly what Jesus has done. He's God. Obviously, it's His commandment. He followed it perfectly and continues to do so. He has glorified His mother. And so there are people who think that we shouldn't be giving such honor and glory to our Blessed Lady. Really? God did it first. All we're doing is exactly what the Lord has done. And so if we honor Our Lady, it's because Jesus did. If we glorify our Blessed Lady, it's because Jesus did. That's what we want to be able to do for all eternity. So to recognize what it is that He has done for His mother, and to honor and glorify that gift, but to recognize that this is not just for Our Lady. It is the call for each one of us. So that's what we're striving for. Recognize that in her, all the promises of Christ that He has made for us have been fulfilled in one who is purely and merely human, just as we are. but in one who had received such extraordinary graces that she is able to be the first fruits, that she is able to be brought into heaven in the fullness of who she is, a glorified soul and a glorified body. But it is there that she is praying for us. And thanks be to God with the beautiful heart of a mother, so that we too can be conformed to her Son, and that we too will one day share in that glory when we too will rise from the dead and be assumed into the eternal glory of God.